Mornings is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products. Insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics, as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values, political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
. 2026 might be a new year, and we might have fresh news stories to share, but they reveal familiar players and familiar themes. So, we'll say Happy New Year to Hamas, Iran, foreign dictators and newly elected dictators, deadly superbugs, and most importantly, Happy New Year to you, as we explore the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, January 9th, 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again, especially from last year as well. You can share them with a skeptical friend. You can read the articles that we talk about. And you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or just grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who recently discovered you can now get lawyers at IKEA. And they're very affordable, but you have to build your own case. And that's Pastor Mark, who recently opened a new gym called Resolutions. It will have exercise equipment for the first 2 weeks of the year, and then the equipment turns into couches for the rest of the year.
Yeah, really? So. Did you know today is what they call National Quitting Day?
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Oh, perfect timing.
They say this is the day that people drop their New Year's resolutions officially by the largest numbers.
Wow, fantastic.
On this day. So 9 days
in. So there
in,
you go.
You make it 9 days, and sorry, we're done. That weight was heavy.
So you'll be heading home to your couch after the show.
Well, it's interesting because, again, for me, it's like the first couple of weeks at the gym, you have to put up with the crowds every
yes.
year. Every year. And say, I know they're all going to leave and we'll get back to one. Now I can move around again. But, you know, it's quite interesting, you know. And so, but even now, Greg, just so you know, and I even as we do this, I'm working out because right now I'm jogging my memory.
Yes.
So I'm constantly working.
Yes, you.
In one way or another.
Man, this is a great way to start the new
year. Yes, it is. Yes. And we've been gone 2 weeks.
I know we have.
So,
you know,
good to be back.
We need a refresher course, Pastor Mark, on God's authority structure.
Yes, we do. And I want to take just a minute, guys, for our listeners, because of a couple of major events in the world before we even jump into articles. One is looking at God's authority structure and all this going on in Minnesota. And then really talking a little bit about Iran and what's happening over there. It's amazing what's taking place. I think that very possible the Iranian government might crumble and be overthrown here. We'll see what happens. But I wanted to talk again. Here we go again, is the way I'd say this. As far as the, you remember all the rebellion that happened in the first Trump presidency where they were in the streets and burning everything down and all the stuff. And the whole time they're saying these are peaceful protests. And yet in the background, it was interesting because in the background, buildings are blazing. And they're like, yeah, it's mostly peaceful except for all the things on fire and everybody hurting each other. But we're seeing it again now in what's happening in Minnesota. And let me just start out by saying, you know, look, it's always tragic when there's loss of life in any of these things. I mean, we're a nation that has First Amendment rights, the ability to speak and to make our voice known. But when we go beyond that and begin to fight against the God-ordained authorities, that's where problems come in. Now, and I also want to say this, Greg, before we start into the conversation, you know, are there times when you do go against the God-ordained authorities? Yes, obviously, you know, verbally for sure. If they're going against the word of God, we're to stand on the truth and speak the truth and teach the truth. That's given. And also, there may be times, there have been throughout history, where the God-ordained authority have started killing innocent civilians, and you've seen a population rise up and go to war, whether it's a civil war within a nation or some other thing. So there are times where you not only verbalize against the authorities in place, but war can even break out if those authorities are going against the word of God and in rebellion to God, and you've seen those kind of things take place. So my point is, though, here's the general principle, and this is why we're having the trouble now we're having in our nation, and why this tragedy happened a couple days ago in Minnesota, or a few days ago. The Bible says that God has put the God-ordained authorities in place, and as long as they are enforcing the approved laws of the land and not going against the word of God, we're to come under that authority and not fight them. And so when you step out of the realm of, I'm going to voice my opinion, hey, I think this is wrong, and you step into the realm of throwing things, using vehicles to block roads and even
or
maybe
yourself.
And as a weapon, which appears to have happened here in Minnesota, then at that point, you know, all bets are off. And the Bible gives us warning about that. You, like I said, let me just read, first of all, I think our listeners know this, but I want to read this and kind of lay some groundwork. And let me just say, do the authorities in our life always do right? Well, no, they don't. And yet, if they're not going against the word of God, or breaking the law, or asking us to break the law, then God tells us, come under those authorities and don't put yourself in a situation where you're fighting the God-ordained authorities who are enforcing the laws of the land. Don't go against that, because you're going to bring trouble on your own self. And sadly, that's what I think we've seen happen here in Minnesota, and it's going to happen even more in these situations. But let's look at this first of all. Romans 13, listen to what it says. Let every soul, again, this is written to the church, but this is true for everyone. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God. So what he's saying is God put our authorities here in this nation in place. He goes on to saying, and the authorities exist, are appointed by God. So God appointed our president, our Congress, our Senate, all these authorities God has put in place for our particular nation. And there's different forms of government in different places, but God is the one that puts them in place. A lot of factors for what he wants to do, for what the people want. And we get into a whole Bible study on that, which we won't do. And you look at David and Saul, there's some theological considerations and discussions we could have there. But anyway, he says, therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. Now, he's not saying that if an authority is in sin or is causing others to sin or is breaking the law, that we can't speak up and oppose it in that sense. What he's saying is, when there are God-given authorities that are in place and they're simply enforcing the laws of the land, stay out of their way.
Right.
Go along with it. Do not fight them, because you're going to bring trouble on your own head.
And I would also add to that, Pastor Mark, if you see someone in authority breaking the law, that does not give you the right to break the same law, because that's the definition of lawlessness.
Yeah.
Okay. And so God's still holding you accountable to the law, even though the authority figure has decided on their own that they're going to violate the very law for which they were elected to uphold.
Right, right.
Anyway.
Absolutely. He says, so whoever resists, notice this, therefore whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's messenger, or rather minister to you for good. So when you look at what's happening again, as far as the immigration and all the things, I know it's a issue that's become political, but the reality is, if someone breaks the laws of the land and illegally enters another land, and that's the laws of the land, and the authorities say, we're going to go remove them, then God says, then stay out of their way. They're the authorities that are there. That's the law of the land. Now, if the authorities go out and start just killing people and they're not following the laws of the land, or they're doing, you know, something horrible, that's a whole different scenario. But when they're obeying the laws of the land and what the, you know, again, America put people in place and passed laws. So those laws now need to be enforced. So when you're fighting against that, he's saying you're fighting against God. He says, for he's God's minister to you for good. So if you go along, you're not going to, again, find yourself arrested or in trouble or even possibly even injured, even killed. He says, but if you do evil, be afraid. That is, if you fight against these authorities and put them in danger. Notice this, for he does not bear the sword in vain. We would say today he doesn't bear his firearm in vain. They have their sword. I saw them again today as I was thinking about this. I was seeing some pictures of police walking through stations with their guns on their side. Those are the modern day swords. They have a sword that is to carry out the authority of the government. And they are a sword that is to keep you from breaking the law. And they're also a sword that can be drawn if you're endangering others to where it can be used against you. And so what he's saying is, therefore, you must be, I'm sorry, he says, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Here it is. For he's God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but for conscience sake. Now, again, when we look at what happened here, here's the bottom line. And you know, arguments can go back and forth about, you know, who was right and wrong in this situation. There'll be an investigation. And certainly, look, it doesn't mean that somebody simply because they're an authority can draw a weapon and just indiscriminately shoot someone.
Correct.
Again, that's against the law.
Yes.
So now the authority has broken the law of the land and they will be held accountable. See how that works?
Yeah.
So the authority is not immune to being held accountable if they do something wrong. If they do something wrong, then they're going to be held accountable and our laws exist for that. But if you're the one that's going against the authority who's simply trying to enforce the laws, then that's where he's saying you're bringing wrath upon yourself. And again, for example, this particular lady, as tragic as it is that she died, she had been following them all day. She was a part of an organization that were tracking the ICE agents to oppose them. I forget the name of the organization. They
released Ice Watch, I think, or
something
like that.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. And so, and she'd been following them all day and harassing them and getting in the way, and she's getting her car and blocking them and all this kind of stuff. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Anyway, so it's, again, first of all, the Bible says even that right there is wrong. Don't do that. Leave them alone. Here's the way you say, well, what if we don't agree? Then you go vote. You put people in power that can change the laws, and you basically just change the law, and now the authorities that God puts in place are there in line with what you want to see happen. But when the authorities are there and they're simply enforcing the law that's already in place, when you go and fight them physically and block them and do all these things, what he's saying is something may happen to you that's not good. Don't do that, because if you do that, you may even end up, you know, dead.
Right.
And so sadly, that's what happened here with this lady. But again, you look and they're going to have to settle the details of this out in the courts. I get all that. But when you look at the fact in the video, you can see that the bullet hole was from the front of the car, which means he wasn't at the side. But he shot when she was coming toward him because the bullet hole's in the front windshield.
Yeah.
And you also see that he does get hit and falls down. And so, again, whenever you take a vehicle that could kill someone and you go toward an officer.
It's a deadly weapon at that point.
Yeah, and they're telling you to stop. At that point, you have opened up a door, again, biblically, of wrath toward yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're not in that vehicle doing that, if you're not there opposing the authorities, none of this can happen. So the argument can go back and forth all day about who was right and wrong. But first of all, don't ever put yourself in a place where you're fighting the God-given authorities, and then this kind of thing can never happen. But when you put yourself in the position where you're fighting the laws of the land, which is very clear, the law of the land, illegal immigrants have to be taken out of the country, whether you agree or not. Again, vote and change the law, but that right now is the law of the land. So when the authorities come in to enforce the law of the land, God says these are God-given authorities that I put in place. They're simply enforcing the law. When you fight against them, you're in essence fighting against God, is what it says in Romans 13. And you're opening up a door where you could be a victim, whether or not it's just being something as simple as being arrested to where something as tragic as losing your life that we saw happen with this young lady there in Minnesota. So, again, the bottom line is that when you see these rebellions that are going on, it's not like a rogue government that has decided to go and do what they want in America. No. It is a God-ordained government that is simply enforcing the laws of the land that the people of America have voted for and put in place.
You know, if you put your hand on the eye of a hot stove, you can expect your hand to get burned.
That's right.
If you put yourself in the path of law enforcement trying to prevent them from doing their job, expect that you will suffer consequences, whether those consequences are legal or they might be physical, depending on the scenario. Yeah. So have that as an expectation. If that's your mindset,
yeah,
and you're in the mindset to rebel, it's one thing to go and protest and be on the sidewalk and do whatever.
Right.
That's fine. You're a paid protester. There's plenty of those people. That's fine. But when you get in the way of law enforcement in any way, shape, or form,
yeah,
regardless, because they're not only there to do their job to catch whatever or person or whatever, but they are also going to protect themselves.
Right.
That's
right.
That's part yeah, of what they are allowed to do.
That's right.
So anyway,
yeah,
count the cost.
Yeah, when you are simply hired by a government to go enforce the laws of the land,
yep,
that have been duly put in place by the citizens of that nation, then you shouldn't have to be attacked by the citizens of that nation by carrying out the laws of the land and the government that asked you to do it. The person attacking you then becomes the bad guy. They become the criminal. They become the one, yep, going against the authority. And God says, now, when you do that, there's going to be consequences. And so when you see these kind of things, here's the thing. There's going to be more consequences and maybe even more deaths if people keep rebelling against the God-given authorities. Now, I know what people are saying right now. What about authorities like Hitler? And they do all the things. These are the kind of examples that come up. That's very different.
Very different.
You're talking about now a government that has gone outside of the laws of man and the laws of God, and they're putting to death their own citizens. They're putting to death other entire race of people, the Jewish people. That's a whole different ballgame.
Now we're not only talking about going against the law on murder. Now we're talking about genocide.
Yeah, and you're talking about, yes, again, the standard being, yeah, you're right, but the standard being God's word as well. So look, I realize there's balance. For example, let's say that the ICE agents and other police are going out and just indiscriminately killing people just because they wanted to do it, and there wasn't any reason. Well, now we've got a real problem.
Yeah.
This is where people rise up, and oftentimes where wars break out to break free from oppression. I get that. But when you've got the government simply hiring the people that are supposed to be there,
yeah,
to do what the American people have voted for and made laws for, when you fight against that, that's when you're fighting against God, and that's when you bring consequences on your own head.
And we wouldn't have this problem to begin with if the previous administration would have enforced the laws of the land and not allowed 20 million people to come into this country illegally.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many layers.
There's
here.
So many layers.
I mean, first of all, you have lots of people here that shouldn't be here. Now you've got, again, the job of the current administration trying to clean it up.
Exactly.
And you got people within the country that want that because they don't really want to follow the laws of the land. They don't like the laws of the land. So they're going to go out and protest and do these kind of things. And this is just, again, I think it's going to be probably held handled differently than the last time. I think it'll be held probably, there'll be more force and more overwhelming force to stop it. I wouldn't be surprised to see many more troops sent into Minnesota.
They're gonna have
now.
To.
Yeah, to shut it down. And so, which is the right thing to do. But at the same time, when you see these things based off of emotion, you know, and they're trying to blame the ICE agents, you know, you say, should he have drawn his weapon? Should he have fired? You can have those arguments all day long until you're the one that feels like your life is threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it's not just a moment in time. It's an overall scenario. She had been following them all day. This particular man had already been drugged some 60 feet by another car just about a month ago or something, they said, and had a number of stitches from somebody else in a car that had tried to ram or do whatever. So he's on double high alert. So when you create an environment where those that are trying to enforce the laws feel that their life is threatened, you know, you've got to defer to their decision at that moment, because if you put yourself in that place, are you going to live or die? Are you going to go home to your wife and kids, and all you're doing is trying to do what your bosses have told you to do based on the laws of the land? But they try to use it as an emotional wedge and make decisions based off of emotions, and this can't be done that way. That's not what this is about. This is a situation where you have a direct rebellion against the laws of the land with the governing authorities, and the laws of the land are not wrong. There's nothing wrong in saying, if you want to be a citizen, you have to do it the right way. Look, we welcome everybody from all over the world here.
Yeah.
All that we're saying is, do it the right way.
Exactly.
Follow the laws.
Yep.
Go through the paperwork, do the proper thing, and then become a citizen that's beneficial and that everybody wants to be here, and you're a part of our people, and you kind of meld into our society. But when you have a bunch of people that sneak in, And some of them may not, and I'm saying all of them aren't bad, but they still did break the law by sneaking in. So there's some
many
level of,
that came in had bad intentions.
Yeah, but then many are really bad. So the bottom line is that God has put the authorities in place to set these borders up, to set the boundaries up. It's interesting, Greg. I was reading just the other day, God is the one who set the borders of nations. It says God sets the boundaries of nations.
That's true.
So
yeah.
God chose to put walls up, borders around nations. And so if you cross that without the proper authority to do that, then again, you're going against God and you're going against the authorities there. And so once again, you're putting yourself in a situation where you may have a consequence. So now what we're seeing, sadly, is they don't bear the sword in vain. And I'm afraid you're going to see more people injured because they're fighting against their authorities. I remember this, you remember the song years back, I fought the law and the law won.
Yes.
It always will in some form and fashion. You may get away with something initially, but the reason the law wins is because the law is put in place by God and by the authorities. And you're not going to defeat God and you're not going to ultimately defeat the authorities. So again, if it's an unrighteous thing, people are indiscriminately, if the government's breaking laws, you look at let's give an example of Iran, which we'll go into next.
Okay.
Iran's out there just shooting their citizens because they're marching in the streets. Okay, now that's a whole different ballgame.
Yep.
Now you're talking about that's murder. It's not sanctioned by the laws of Iran. It's not sanctioned by the laws of God. It's just murder. And that does need to be fought against. And again, this is where you sometimes see civil wars break out and God sets a people free. But when you have immigration laws of a land and you have a lot of people that are bad people that have entered the country, and not, I didn't say all of them, but a lot of the ones that entered had to have a conscience seared enough to where they could break the law to come in, number one. But then you have others that are even rapists, murderers, and other things that go with that. You know, and the government's now trying to do what God put them there to do, to protect the people, which is what government's supposed to do for nations. When they get hurt, they've brought this on themselves, and they're fighting against God. So, again, I felt I needed to make some statement. I know that as believers, we know that. I don't expect the world to understand that. But the sad thing is, I think you're going to see a lot more consequence before this is done, because you cannot fight against God's structure and come out ahead. And that causes us to shift gears into Iran.
Okay.
And I'll don't need to go too long on this, but I do find it interesting what's happening in Iran, because now you do have a government that is, again, going outside of the laws of God and His Word, and outside of even their own, there's no protection for their own people. This is not even a due process for their people. They're just indiscriminately killing people. And so this is where you have a government that is rogue and is out of control. And yet, it's interesting, Greg, to watch, because it looks like that Iran, it may fall, this current government. Now, remember, back in the 70s, might have been 78 when the Shah of Iran fell, it was late 70s. You had a democratic society there in Iran. They were friends with Israel, friends with America, democratically elected. And then you had these radical Muslims come in and take over, the Ayatollahs and all that. And they've been running it now since the late 70s and putting the people under great oppression. And so now you're seeing, for the not the first time, people marching and rising up, but a greater boldness. I've not seen it in my lifetime, this level of boldness. I've seen some marching in the streets, some protests. But with what happened with Venezuela and
that
Israel,
emboldened the people of Iran.
Yes. Yeah. And then Israel and America saying, hey, we're gonna back you up on this. This is larger than anything I've ever seen, and so they may actually topple here. Matter of fact, they've already made plans. The current Ayatollah there has made plans to flee. He's got a plan ready.
He has an exit strategy.
He has an exit strategy. Matter of fact, it was reported today that some are saying that Russia are sending in cargo jets to take out large quantities of gold and things from Iran. They want to transfer it back to Russia. And think about that now. Think about it. If Russia falls, if Iran falls, I don't think they're going to ever see that gold again. I think that gold, we'll help you. We'll hide your gold. Yeah.
Yeah,
hide it in our bank account.
Yes, exactly.
I think Russia's just going to keep that gold if that's what's going on. But either way.
Oh, my.
Either way, I wanted to talk briefly on this. Where does this come into play prophetically? Because we do know that Iran is going to move on Israel and Russia with them to attack. So what happens if suddenly this regime that looks like they would be one that would attack Israel, they already have multiple times. What happens if they fall and a supposed friendly regime gets in and they have regular elections and suddenly Iran and Israel are friends? What now? What about this Iranian invasion? I don't know. I find this very intriguing. It'll be interesting to see. Will somehow the current regime hold on to power and still be in power at the time when that takes place? Or will they fall and another one come in that seems to be a friend, maybe really a friend, and they fall as well, with another one coming quickly after or something? or they appear to be a friend and they're not really a friend. We don't know. But I do think of the scripture that does say, it's interesting, when the Iranian-Russian invasion takes place, Israel is going to feel safe and secure. And you go, wait a minute, so maybe this is going to be the thing that makes them feel safe and secure. Now, I've always thought about it being just their current neighbors, you know, having safety and peace and security with the immediate neighbors around them. Iran's a distance away. So I've never thought about Iran being one of them that would be at peace with Israel, but it does say they will be at peace with their friends. That means Jordan, Lebanon, which we see already working with Hezbollah, things going on there. Now we see in Gaza, that being dealt with. And so Iraq is kind of a non-player right now. Egypt is has peace on paper. So all of those nations seem to be in place and in order for there to be some type of a peace that they would think, and then the invasion take place. I never thought about it with Iran, but it might be, Greg, that Iran appears to be at peace with Israel and something happens, whether or not it's a deception and they're not really friendly with Israel, or whether or not somebody takes it over and they move on and we don't know. But again, just wanted to kind of say, be watching, because it looks like we're going to see it, very possibly see Iran fall. This will get interesting, too, because now they're starting to attack their own people and kill them, as we said, in the streets. And President Trump said if they do that, the American military is going to take action. So let's see what happens. I think if it's going to happen, it's probably going to be in the next few days, because you can't sit back and let it keep going if you're really going to do it. And so it's going to get very interesting. But whatever happens, doesn't matter. Just remember, Iran at some point is going to move on Israel, and this may simply be a part of that supposed peace by all their neighbors until we see that move that is unexpected coming out of Iran and Russia aligning with them. So, again, that's my update on these two things. I wanted to talk about it for a moment, and I'm ready to move on to our articles or questions or whatever Greg has for us. You've got the buttons over there, so...
All right, let's go to Israel and an article from Fox News. This is dated December 28th from last year. Hamas builds new terror regime in Gaza, recruiting teens amid problematic election.
Yeah, this is interesting, because here's the thing. You know, when they said Hamas has to go, they should have worked faster. And because they haven't gone faster, now they're kind of getting rebuilt in there, Greg, and they're getting confident that they can still fight against Israel and kind of stay in power. Look, Hamas has no intention of giving their weapons up. I believe the only way Hamas is going to give up their weapons is if Hamas is forced to give up their weapons. They're not going to do it any other way. But now they're, again, because they have time to kind of regroup, and Israel has pulled back their forces, now we're seeing this problem. Again, the Hamas-Gaza ceasefire, says, allows the terrorist group to rebuild their military capacities, and they're rebuilding a new Gaza terror apparatus using the ceasefire with Israel to boost the military, restore a problematic leadership structure, and recruit a new generation of teen fighters. And I quote, "Everything that is happening will continue happening as long as Hamas continues to effectively control the western part of the Gaza Strip," they said. "Generally speaking, Hamas now has full freedom of movement since Israeli forces withdrew from parts of Gaza in October under a new ceasefire framework. Hamas has moved to fill the power vacuum." So here's the bottom line. Look, they're in their restructuring. They're in their rearming. They're reloading. And so something's got to happen. Supposedly, I think maybe next week, the president's supposed to implement now phase two with this peace initiative group. We'll see what happens. And they say even before Hamas disarms, and before the final hostage's body is released, they're going to go ahead and do this. And so there could be some military action. It wouldn't surprise me to see some military action in Iran, and maybe some shortly after, some more military action by Israel there in Gaza, Greg, to finally settle this issue once and for all. So we'll wait and see. But again, I think it's a mistake to give Hamas too long, because they are going to regroup, reload, and make it harder.
As we head to Ezekiel 38 and 39, speaking of reloading, this is from Fox News, dated December 29th. Iran reportedly developing chemical warheads as the economic crisis is sparking protests in that country.
Yeah. Iran reportedly developing these chemical and biological warheads, it says. The outlet citing unnamed military security sources report that Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has accelerated work on unconventional missile payloads alongside upgrades to command and control systems. If confirmed, the developments would raise serious alarms in Washington and Israel, particularly as Tehran struggles to confirm, or rather contain, growing anger at home. According to the Iran International Missile Infrastructure, They have been repositioned and expanded with some launch assets reportedly moved to eastern Iran to reduce vulnerability. The report claims that the IRGC, a Revolutionary Guard, is exploring non-conventional warhead configurations in their long-head missiles. This is very problematic. I'll get to that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Tehran has long denied pursuing chemical or biological weapons, insisting its missile program is defensive. Iran is a signatory to the Chemical Weapons Convention, though Western governments have repeatedly accused the Islamic Republic of violating international norms. The missile report coincides with escalating economic unrest inside Iran, and Iran's International reported Monday that shopkeepers in Tehran shut down major markets for a second consecutive day, protesting inflation and the collapse of national currency. And of course, now we see them marching in the streets. This is all part of it, all building into it. But just the point to make here, look, that talks about the nation falling and collapsing at the very end of the article. But the first part of this is the biggest concern. And that is when you back a desperate person back into a corner that has weapons and they think they're going to die or lose the fight, they're going to release those weapons. And the concern here is that, you know, in the past, Iran has shot these missiles. Well, they've attacked their own people, number one. Secondly, they've shot these missiles at Israel. Some of them get through. Look, as good as Israel's defense system is amazing. When you think about the number of missiles that come in and the number that get shot down, it's amazing. And I know it's supernatural. God's helping them. But with that said, all it takes is one or two to land in a certain area with chemicals all over it, and you have large casualties of people dying.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about Iran possibly using chemical weapons and biological weapons, you know, Greg, if Israel thinks that's about to happen, you're going to see a much larger explosions in Iran and a much more sophisticated and targeted and brutal attack to stop that kind of thing from happening. So I don't know that Iran would try something like this, but when you see them backed in a corner, we know they're not going to, again, defeat Israel, but who knows? It doesn't say they can't get a chemical weapon in and a lot of people die. But this could really escalate things. If there's even the suspicion of chemical agents, I think that you may see Iran almost by a world effort annihilate. If nothing else, America and Israel together, that nation is going down. Something's going to happen. There will be a regime change. And who knows? It could be the kind of thing, too, that could spark the whole attack, you know, Ezekiel 30 and 39. But this is serious stuff. Keep your eye on it. And the thing to remember, God's in control. Israel's going to come out victorious. But wow, this is getting really, really intense in many different fronts there with Israel and Iran.
Well, we're going to take this to outer space, Pastor Mark, because our next article comes also from Fox News, dated December 31st. Iran announces a satellite launch with Russian help as tensions with the U.S. grow.
Yeah, interesting. Iran launched 3 satellites, it says, with Russian assistance, showcasing deepening cooperation as they resist the Western sanctions and international pressure. The posture was on display this week when Iran announced that 3 of its domestically designed satellites were launched into orbit aboard a Russian rocket. Now, again, look at this. Again, we're seeing this whole linking here more and more with Russia and Iran. They're very linked, and they're getting more and more linked. Now, satellite, not Starlink, but again, linked. The launch underscored a broader strategic relationship between Moscow that has expanded significantly since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Iran has supplied Russia with drones and other military equipment used on the battlefield, while Russia has provided diplomatic cover, economic cooperation, and advanced technical support amid sweeping Western sanctions on both countries. The growing Russia-Iran alignment comes as tensions between Tehran and Washington continue to rise after President Donald Trump recently warned that the United States could strike Iran again if they attempted to rebuild their nuclear program. So, again, just seeing them get satellites, and it's, you know, look, it's bad enough when you have a nation like Iran with any kind of ability, and now talking about possibly, you know, chemical weapons being sent out, and they get satellites that kind of help them in some degree on seeing things or directing things. Not a good thing, and yet you're seeing this. They're nowhere near where, again, the technology is that we have and others. But anytime you start putting things out in space that they can link to, it gives them a little bit more ability to do things. And it's, again, a great concern, but God's in control, and God's going to take care of it. But we need to be aware of it.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We're actually a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 397, which is easier to listen to than trying to get children enrolled in the Somali daycare center. And now,
you've got mail.
We've got two questions this week, Pastor Mark, that came in to us while we were on Christmas hiatus, if you will.
Yes.
The first one is from Jonathan, enjoying Signs of the Times north of us in Noblesville, Indiana. And he says, is it possible that those who die during the millennial reign of Christ will go to heaven where we came from with Christ during the second coming and resurrect at the end of the 1,000 years when Satan is defeated and the new Jerusalem comes down to earth? If this does happen, will we in our glorified bodies be able to translate from earth heaven? I don't know. I guess that's what he meant to say there.
Back and forth.
To visit those who have passed on.
That's a great question, Jonathan. I think that what we have to realize is that when the Lord comes down, the Bible says he's going to pretty much empty out heaven and bring everybody to earth. I mean, even the angels are coming down with him. I know there may still be angels there. We know that the Father in spirit is ruling over all as far as that goes. But from Scripture, what it appears is that the Lord will be here on the earth, and all of us as believers will be with him. You know, the Lord said that, again, you think about when the rapture takes place, and although this is not necessarily a question about the rapture, but it applies to all believers, he said, we will join the Lord, and we will ever be with the Lord. So I think the picture there, what we're hearing from Scripture is that once we leave these bodies, these earthly bodies, we're going to ever be with the Lord. So I don't think there's going to be any separation. I think that those that die during the millennial kingdom, and I'll explain a little more of that in a moment for those that who don't understand that, but those that die during the millennial kingdom, it would appear if they're going to remain ever with the Lord, which I think applies, even though it's not the rapture taking place, I think the principle is still there, and I think theologically could be proven in other places. I don't think they're going to be leaving and going anywhere like to the third heaven. I think they're going to remain here on the earth. They're going to be with us, and they'll just translate into their new body. I mean, I've always thought how interesting it'd be to see somebody in the millennial die, and all of a sudden they'll just get their new body and they'll remain there and be with us. But I believe that Scripture would indicate that no, there's no separation with anybody going anywhere during the millennium. They will die in their physical body. They'll be translated into their new body, and they'll be there with us, with the Lord, because we're ever with the Lord, and there's not going to be, I think, a separation between the Lord and his people ever again from that point. But with that said, for those that are listening going, wow, what are you talking about, death after the Lord comes back? Remember, the Bible says Jesus is coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, the rapture will take place, then the final 7-year promise that God has for the nation of Israel, and then the second coming at the end of that will take place. And there will still be people that are mortals here on the earth that made it through. That is, you'll have believers and unbelievers that are still in their earthly bodies at the second coming. So he will establish his throne. The millennial kingdom will begin. And then when that takes place, you've got people that are in limited mortal bodies still here on the earth that are going to, if they're saved, are going to just join with us, with the Lord, and go right into the millennial kingdom. So there they'll be. Now, we'll have our new bodies, so we'll never die again, but there at some point, they're going to die. And so they'll live for however long they live, and then they'll die. And then at that point, I think, is when they'll get their new body, and they'll remain with us, is my understanding, there in the millennial kingdom with the Lord for the rest of that time. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, that's when the heaven and earth will be destroyed, and there'll be the element, the whole universe, everything. Then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, that will be in forever. And so everybody by that time will have their new bodies and be eternal. But it's interesting too, Jonathan, because what happens is after the new heaven and the new earth, the Bible says John saw New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, and it doesn't tell us whether it stopped or whether it came on down and just came upon the earth and intermingled with the earth. We don't know. Some theologians say, no, it's going to keep on coming down and the New Jerusalem will be here on the new earth and there it'll be. So others say, no, it's going to stop and be up above heaven, you know, off the earth like the moon is. And if it is up off the earth like that, then will people, like you asked, would people be traveling back and forth to heaven? Not the third heaven, I don't believe like that, but in the new heaven and the new earth, if it does indeed stop off of the earth and doesn't come on down, we will no doubt be traveling back and forth between the new Jerusalem and the earth. And how cool that would be. I mean, either way is going to be awesome. But I've often imagined if indeed it is out there watching, you know, saints and it says we'll shine like the stars of heaven. So you'll see all these glowing lights like lightning bugs. Well, you know, if that's the case, it's, you know, going back and forth. And then it talks about the walls of New Jerusalem being made of these beautiful emeralds and diamonds and jewelry. And I imagine walking through the gates, and if it is that kind of thing, even on the earth, it'll probably be this way. But there especially, it'll be like you'll see this light shining through all these beautiful heavenly you know, emeralds and all, and the color changing. You know, there goes Greg, man. Look, he's going in, and all the colors are changing as you're going in. You know, you're going to talk to the Lord or do whatever's happening, and it's just going to be a beautiful visual thing either way, whether it's on the earth or in the heavenlies. It's going to be tremendous. So again, that's kind of extra bonus points there when I carried on a little bit longer. But no, I don't think we're going to be separated from the Lord. I think once we die, we're going to ever be with the Lord.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Amy, and it's pretty short and sweet. She says, do you think Obadiah 1, specifically in verse 4 and 7, is talking about America?
Yeah, it is, you know, again, interesting when you look at some of these verses, Amy, in Obadiah. But when you go and look at the context, remember, the initial thing when it comes to Scripture is, what is the initial literal meaning of what it's saying? Obadiah is written to and about the Edomites. And the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. They were the who was the brother of Jacob, the twin brother. And God is proclaiming a judgment on the Edomites, who are the descendants of Esau. And while some of the judgments could be similar to the type of judgment that could happen to other nations, such as America or others, if they go long enough in their sin, it doesn't make them those nations. I think this is specifically talking to the Edomites and the judgment that would come upon the Edomites, and not talking about America at all. However, with that said, like I said, whenever you do see God judge nations, he oftentimes employs the same tactics in judging those nations. So when you read things that look familiar or similar to the sins we're doing and the way we're going to be judged or those kind of things, I can see all those thoughts can pop in. But again, I think we need to take it literally for what it says. This was written to and about the Edomites.
All right. If you've got a question like Jonathan and Amy, we invite you to visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Click Signs of the Times, and you can see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question. On the boats and on the planes. As our episode for the new year rolls on, we'll roll right back into this country for a few articles. Our first one comes from Fox News, dated December 26th. On billboards in Times Square, it says Jesus is Palestinian. Why, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, amazing. You know, the scripture that popped into my mind when I read this, and of course, this is talking about believers, but still, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed due to a lack of knowledge. And there's such an ignorance here about the Lord and about Palestine. And so let me read this article, then we'll talk a little bit about it. Most of our listeners have probably heard us talk about this, but I think we need to cover it again. Let me cover it first. I think it's good to have the background. First of all, there has never been an official state of Palestine in world history. I just want that to sink in for a moment. The dramatic pause was on purpose. Because people think that there used to be a Palestine that existed. There's never been. Now, let me explain what I mean. You say, wait a minute, what about the color Palestine? Yeah, I realize that Israel was called Palestine, and some still call it that today. But let me give you the history of why. And my point is not that it's not been called Palestine. It obviously has been, and even referred to in history books and everything else. I'm not denying that. I'm saying it has never been an official legal state of Palestine. That is, there's been no Palestinian government. There's been no Palestinian president. There's been no Palestinian this or that. Yeah, they have those today they say are, but the ones that are they're calling their presidents or their leaders now, there's no state that they can lead over. So let me give you the history. Okay, what happened was, again, In 139 BC, Emperor Hadrian, who hated the Jews, hated them so much that he said, I hate the Jews so much, we're not even going to let this land be called Israel any longer. We're going to change the land to their greatest enemy. And their greatest enemy throughout history, in his viewpoint, was the Philistine. So he said, we're going to change the land to Philistinia, meaning Philistines. And today that translates into Palestinia or Palestine, Philistine. It means Philistines, what it means. So he just renamed the land Palestine in 139 BC from Israel, but he never made it an official state. It was never made a country. It was never made a state because Rome ruled the world. They weren't about to make a rival. They were the world empire. But because of that, you had to call it Palestine because they gave it the new name. So everybody that lived there, everybody, Jew, Gentile, Arab, whatever, everybody that lived there, of course, there weren't any Muslims until the 600s, because, again, the religion didn't exist till then. But anybody that lived there from 139 on was called a Palestinian. And that went all the way up until 1948. As a matter of fact, in 1948, when Israel became a nation, up until 1948, when Israel became a nation, you were still called a Palestinian if you lived in that land. But now still, there was still no state. There was no official nation or State of Palestine. It's just a name. The name was there, but no official government, still not today. There's no official government today of a state that's recognized by other nations as Palestine. The UN has declared them, as a member of the UN in 1988, from that point on trying to, but there's no state. They still don't have their own state. It's never existed. Now, with that said, Jews until 1948, if you lived in the land of Israel, at what they called Palestine at that time, Greg, even up through 1947, all the Jews there were called, guess what? Palestinians. As a matter of fact, the Jerusalem Post, the newspaper in that day, was called the Palestinian Post, but it was Jewish. When you saw the symbols of the Jewish writing on their airplanes, and it would say Palestine, you know, it didn't have to do with a certain people group. It was just, that's what this land is currently called. And because Israel is no longer a nation at this point, we are all in this land and we're called that. So when you move to America from other countries and you become a citizen, you're called an American because that's what we call ourselves in this land. So that land was called Philistine or Palestinia, and that's what they were called. So all Jews and everybody there was a Palestinian up to that date. In 1948, the scripture that God gave, the prophecy, will a nation be born in a day? It came to pass. Literally in one day, David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, stood up and declared that Israel was a nation. And so they were born in a day, fulfilling the prophecy that the Bible said would take place. And from that point on, they've been called Israel. So what happened was, those who are non-Jews and those who hate Israel that still live in that land, once Israel was given a nation again, when God rebirthed them as a nation, they still called themselves Palestinians. And today they still call themselves Palestinians. That is just people that live in this land, but they don't have their own state. They don't have their own country. They don't have their own nation. Now, as symbolically, they have elected a leader, a Palestinian leader. You know, Mahmoud Abbas is that now, and they've had all these different Palestinian leaders, and the UN symbolically said, okay, we're recognizing you as a Palestinian people, and yet they have no nation and no state. So this is all just like, as they say, paper tigers. It's this thing there that's not real. It's paper mache. There is no Palestine. So you have to recognize it wasn't even called Palestine until 139 BC, which was 100 years after Christ. So now we're getting back to this article here. 100 years after Jesus, okay, is the first time it was ever called Palestine. So when Jesus lived, there wasn't even a name symbolic Palestine. It was called Israel. And Israel was controlled by Rome because the Roman Empire had taken over the world. So when they say Jesus is a Palestinian, Jesus wouldn't, listen, the people that lived in that day, Jesus being the Lord knew all things, but the people living in that day, they would say, what's Palestinian? We've never heard that term. What is that? We don't even know what that is. There was no, not even a name Palestinian in that day. So understand, when they try to say that Jesus was a Palestinian, Palestine didn't even exist yet for another 100 years by name, which still has never been a nation. So do you see how frustrating this is? And you see how, again, my people perish due to a lack of knowledge. Now, with that said, let's read it. A billboard in Times Square claims Jesus is a Palestinian, which didn't even exist in his day, as a holiday message from an Arab-American group amid ongoing Middle East tensions. It says, Jesus is Palestinian, Merry Christmas, reads one billboard from the committee, which goes on the website on its website to describe itself as the biggest Arab-American grassroots organization in the U.S., One slide in the Instagram post says, as Gaza endures genocide and the birthplace of Jesus is under siege and occupation, we reclaim a fundamental truth. And they're lying by saying they're reclaiming a truth. By saying they're reclaiming a truth, they're lying. It's amazing. Here in the heart of Times Square, in a season of peace, we speak for those who have been denied peace. According to the post, the billboards are meant to reclaim the truth, which they're lying. There was no Palestine in Jesus' day. And they say they're honoring the Palestinian refugee who was born in Bethlehem. No, he was a Jewish man born in Israel that didn't exist. And they go on again, identity, culture, roots of the land. Another slide also featured one of the billboards quoting the Quran, which reads, remember when the angels proclaimed, O Mary, Allah gives you good news of the word from him, which is never happened. His name will be the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, honored in this world and the hereafter, and he'll be one of those nearest Allah. No, he is God in human form. He will rule and does rule over all things. So, again, I know for you and I, Greg, we know this, and you're probably tired of hearing me say it, but our listeners have got to realize There has never been a true Palestinian state in world history, ever. It was just a name given by Hadrian because he hated the Jews, and it came 100 years after Jesus. And even the Jews were called Palestinians because that's what the land was renamed until 1948, when they called themselves once again the Nation of Israel.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next article comes from Breitbart.com. President Trump saying Nicolas Maduro has been captured and flown out of Venezuela. Of course, this is old news for today's listener, but we did want to have the article in there so we can talk about it.
Yeah, and I didn't even put the article. I literally left in here the headline because I want to acknowledge it. But everybody knows what happened.
Yeah.
Everybody knows he went in, they took him. But again, we have to mention it because this was a huge, major news story that took place while we were gone. And so everybody knows what happened. But at the same time, here's the comment I'll make. I think this and the next article we're going to get to.
Yeah.
This is a restructuring of the world environment, getting ready for the 10 toes of Daniel.
Yeah. And the next article also comes from Breitbart, where President Trump has taken the United States out of 66 globalist organizations and their treaties.
Now, this is huge and wonderful. Listen to this article, and I'll give you more details on it. The Trump administration announced Wednesday it's taking U.S. taxpayer dollars, no, focus on that, away from 66 globalist organizations. Nearly half of them affiliated with the UN, which is terrible. The UN's terrible. And all of which are identified as contrary to the interests of the United States. What he did was he said, we're giving all this money to people that are fighting against us. We're not doing that anymore. These are American taxpayers. It's their money. You hate us. You're ripping us off. You're fighting us. You don't get our money anymore. I love this.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a fantastic move.
Yes.
It's not only going to help our economy. It's going to block off those that are taking our money and using it against us. You know, this whole thing, Greg, with the Somalis coming in and taking all the money that they took. And I know that not all the Somalis did.
With the aid of our own people,
a lot going on that'll come out. The point is, listen, again, these are people that are against us and fighting against us as a nation. We don't need to be giving them help to destroy ourselves.
Exactly.
Most notable is the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. I love this. He pulled away the climate change support because it's now been scientifically proven to be a farce. Again, could there be temperature changes? Yes. But mankind is not doing it. That's been proven scientifically. And also, we can't do anything about it, even if we change the way we're living.
And throwing money at it doesn't solve it.
No, not at all.
If it was existing.
So we needed to back out. Again, whether or not we know that the climate changes back and forth throughout world history. I'm not denying climate change. I'm saying it's the natural flow of the earth, number one, and God's in control of that. And number two, they said that even if all the nations of the world participated to try to lower all the carbon and all these things, it wouldn't make any difference. The number is so small, nobody would know it.
Yep.
So it's a waste of time and money, and this is where we trust God to take care of our planet and take care of us. He says, and I quote, we will unequivocally continue to support international climate research. This is what they said, the climate change group that we pulled our money from. They're upset, and they're saying, we're going to continue to do it, even though America's not helping. We will continue to work on international climate cooperation, even though one of the largest suppliers has been America. So we're bummed, we're sad. So we're going to continue to fight, even if America doesn't help us. And it says, now Trump is making sure that U.S. taxpayer dollars are no longer spent at the discretion of the U.N. Think about that.
I know.
And it's associated globalist affiliates. Now, the frustrating thing is once he's out of office, if somebody liberal gets in, it's going to go right back where it was. As in his first term, Trump has also withdrawn the United States from UNESCO, the U.N. Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, which Washington had rejoined under Biden. Again, they were terrible. UNESCO is like, again, Trump has likewise pulled the U.S. out of the World Health Organization. So we're out of the WHO and sharply reduced their foreign aid, which we need to be because look at the big fiasco they sent us in with all the COVID stuff. So this is a great move. It's going to save piles of money. It's going to get us away from those that are taking our money and taking advantage of us. I wish it would last. We'll find out if it will, but that's a great report.
All right, in our growing anti-Semitism news this week, this comes from Fox News, dated January 2nd. Israel accuses Mamdani of pouring anti-Semitic gasoline on an open fire after he revokes former Mayor Eric Adams' executive orders.
Well, he made himself known, which before the election even took place, and then on the day one.
This is almost a see I told you so, Pastor Mark.
Well, day one, he went against the Jewish people. Yeah. I told you it would happen. And by the way, in the first week of him being mayor, we're now seeing again in the streets the Muslim
call to prayer.
I told our people, I said, you're going to start seeing that. May have already been happening some, I don't know, but they're now releasing videos and sound bites of this happening. happening down the streets, it's going to get worse and worse because they're going to be emboldened. And remember, the goal of Islam is to take over America, not to blend in.
Right.
But to take over. And they admit that, and their own writings say they should do that. But anyway, Israel tore into New York City Mayor Zohan Mamdani after he revoked a pair of executive orders signed by former Mayor Eric Adams that supported the Jewish state. And I quote, on his very first day as New York City Mayor, Mamdani shows his true face. He scraps the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. So don't try to protect the Jews. And he lifts the restrictions on boycotting Israel. You want to boycott them, boycott them, don't protect them. This isn't leadership, it says. It's anti-Semitic gasoline on an open fire. I agree. On day one in the office, Mamdani revoked all the orders issued by Adams, including one that barred city agencies from boycotting and divesting in Israel. Another order had adopted a sweeping definition of anti-Semitism defined by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, which included demonizing Israel and holding it to a double standards as forms of contemporary anti-Semitism, or denying the Jewish people the right to have a national homeland. So he's basically saying they don't have a right to a national homeland, and we're not going to protect them, and we're not going to say that, you know, whatever you want to do to them, I'm out of your way, is what he said. Now watch what happens. Now, again, that's only going to be New York and those that want to do that. But, I mean, it reminds me of Haman. When Haman said, okay, when this day comes, you can kill them all, just go for it. He's not saying you can kill them all, but in the sense, it's the same thing. I'm not going to protect them. I'm turning against them. And then we saw God intervene and say, God will say, I'll protect them. So again, I'm not saying that Mamdani said to kill them all. Nothing like that happened. I'm saying he's showing that he's against the Jews, which we know, anti-Israel. And he's opened up a door for those that are their enemies to go ahead and take advantage against fighting against the nation of Israel.
Well, and also, too, another order rescinded had directed the New York Police Department to bolster enforcement around religious sites by establishing protest-free buffer zones near searches. So basically, he's lifted the hand of protection by the government as well.
Like, I'm not telling you to do it, but if something happens, I'm not going to stop it.
We're gonna just turn the look the other way.
Not good.
Yeah. All right, pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is from Fox News, dated January 3rd. Researchers are now warning about a deadly superbug that is spreading across the U.S. as a drug resistance to it is growing.
Yeah, I'll hit these quick, Greg, so we can maybe pop these off real fast. But again, okay. This is, again, called Candida auris, a superbug that's drug resistant. I don't want to make people afraid. I have encouragement here at the end of the article, but let me say this. Remember Matthew 24, the Bible said in the last days you'll see an increase in plagues. I think you're seeing some of that now take place when you see kind of these drug resistant. I want to also say this. We were warned by one of the world's top virologists that if we took a worldwide shot at the same time, that everything would adapt and create new superbugs we couldn't fight. They're saying, look, you may, even if COVID was accurate, do it a nation at a time, go slowly. Because when you do it worldwide, all of the infections around the world work together and come up with something new.
Yeah.
Well, we may be seeing some of that now. And again, that may be why we have in the last days some of these things, Greg, rising up because of this worldwide vaccination, which we should learn. There should never be another worldwide at the same time vaccination like that because it creates problems. Now, here's the encouraging part. He says this. Health experts emphasize that the CRS, which is having the problems, is not a threat to healthy people, only those in certain conditions. So in general, this isn't going to be a threat to you, but you're going to see more of these things rising, as it said in the last days, and maybe even because of certain things like we did with COVID, if we don't wise up.
All right, let's head to the church for a moment and sit in the pew with Fox News. This is dated January 2nd. Unexpected Roman-era discoveries unearthed in biblical city mentioned in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, I love it.
So is this real?
Well, it sounds sensational. Okay. The headline, all they're saying is, hey, you remember the book? You remember about Ephesus and Revelation? We found this great bathtub there.
Oh,
that's all it is. A Roman-era marble bathtub was recently unearthed in Ephesus that dates back to the first century. It shows, it just proves they took baths.
Clickbait is what it is, Pastor Mark.
Yeah,
right?
It really is. It's a cool discovery. It's a bathtub. You know, they had the bathhouses, but this was a personal bathtub, which those were rare to find.
Sure.
But again, it came from a wealthy Roman family. It's a beautiful find, but it has nothing to do with any kind of prophetic thing other than it's just kind of a neat discovery, and it happened there in Ephesus, and Ephesus has
been. Did you show a picture of it to Tracy? She might want it.
I haven't yet. Yeah.
Okay,
no, don't go there. I'm not going to tell her about this bathtub. We may end up with some Roman bathtub for Ephesus, and I don't have the time or the money for that. But anyway.
All right. Let's get into some good news as we wrap up today's program. Oh, wow. And this is real quick.
Yeah, this is.
All right.
Told you.
Yeah, crosswalk.com. Seven NFL playoff quarterbacks who are bold about their love for Jesus.
Yeah, I love it. These star quarterbacks, again, God uses these men in great ways. And I wanted to give them an honorable mention. They're bold about their faith. They're talking about the Lord. How we need that for our next generation examples. You've got Houston's C.J. Stroud, Jacksonville's Trevor Lawrence, San Francisco's Brock Purdy, New England's Drake May, Denver's Bo Nix, Carolina's Bryce Young, and Philadelphia's Jalen Hurts. All of them very bold and vocal about their faith in Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you guys, listen, if you're involved in any type of position, kudos to these guys for being a witness, but we need to be a witness to the next generation. We need to not be afraid to be a bold witness for Christ, because again, it's needed more than ever in the days in which we live.
Yeah. All right, Pastor Mark, thank you so much. And as always, folks, thanks for listening. Welcome to the new year. We will have more Signs of the Times next Friday at 1:30 right here on WIM. And don't forget our website at thewaymedia.net so you can enjoy Signs of the Times anytime. And we'll see you back here for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.
WIAM LP 101.1